Hello everybody, this is Loki, or Way of Loki, and welcome to the No Hit Podcast. Here it is my job to interview extraordinary gamers in the realms of challenge running, whether that be no hit runs, completing difficult games without taking a single hit or point of damage, speed runs, completing entire games that may normally take hours in mere minutes, and much more. Today's guest is Spiral underscore out, that's Spiral, S-P-I-R-A-L underscore out, O-U-T on Twitch and YouTube. Spiral is an amazing no-hit runner with in-depth knowledge of Resident Evil 4, Hollow Knight, and Sekiro Shadows Die Twice, with having done a whole host of runs in each of them, including all bosses, mini-bosses, no-hit in Sekiro, true ending, no damage in Hollow Knight, and no damage Resident Evil 4, as well as having created many of the strats and routes that challenge runners still use today, as well as creating brand new innovative strats. In this conversation, we go into how Spiral approaches these games, his enjoyment of Resi 4, which has now lasted over a decade, as well as his community, and much more. I hope you enjoy, and this is the conversation with Spiral out. Also, a quick apology, there were some audio issues in the second half of this conversation, where Spiral's audio echoes slightly, which should be solved for future episodes. Right, Spiral, first of all, appreciate the time taken out to do this. Hope your day's going well.
Yeah, it's going great. Happy to be here. This is my first podcast appearance ever, so I am excited and frightened to hear myself on a podcast, but thanks for having me.
No worries at all, you'll be great. So, I would like to start with a certain series called Resident Evil. Mm-hmm. I want you to go into your appeal to the series, because as I had a little walkthrough, you've been with this series for over 10 years, and by that, it's like including posting videos and strategies around them. So I'd be interested to know the appeal of the series for you.
Right, so it's mainly, well, it all started with RE4, and that's the thing I probably spent by far the most time on. But the appeal is sort of what it is with, you know, most of the games, you know, all three of them that I play, but it's mm-hmm. extremely replayable, and there mm-hmm. are a lot of different challenges you can do in the game, which I find very enjoyable to sort of try to figure out how to do these challenges, and especially I like to try to do each of them without taking damage or hits, and that's really kind of what got me into the series. And I actually, like 12, maybe 13 years ago now, I actually got a really crappy capture card so I could start recording strategy videos on Resident Evil 4. And looking back at those are pretty unwatchable video quality, even for the time. But yeah, that's actually what got me into to doing YouTube videos, was recording strategy videos for RE4. But yeah, it's mainly just the fact that you can play it in so many different ways, and it really rewards putting a lot of thought into how to get through particular areas in all these different challenges.
Yeah, one of the old videos you mentioned that I saw in one of the comments, like, giving me an absolute nostalgia flash, was you responding to someone saying, oh no, for this strat, the Wii is much better than the GameCube in it for this. So.
Yeah, Capcom has famously released RE4 on every platform known to man, and I've owned the game on a good chunk of the platforms they've released them on. But Wii is actually probably my favorite controls of all of them.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, cool. What was the appeal of the Wii? Was it the, like,
yeah, it's
the interactive of it?
Well, it's just the motion sensor. You can kind of aim and shoot almost instantaneously.
Okay.
And it's just a lot easier. Like, going back to it, it's relatively tanky, the controls and aiming, but it's for most of the weapons you can aim really quickly on the Wii, which is kind of why I liked it. But yeah.
So you say, like, the appeal is like the puzzle, like, or the working out the puzzle aspect of them in terms of the challenges you put on them. So the puzzle you put onto the game is like the no damage, and then the working out is like the fun part, how to get through particular sections and items and all that.
Right. So there are a bunch of really standard challenges in Resident Evil 4, and sort of what I spent most of my time in the game doing was the various challenges, but trying to do them no damage. At the time, I did all the runs segmented, so I do like a chapter at a time. But yeah, so You have like a no merchant runs, which are kind of, you know, everyone's first challenge run in Resident Evil 4. So famously, there's the merchant, and you use them to buy upgrades to your weapons, to buy new weapons, to buy case size upgrades, and to buy rockets, which essentially trivialize most of the bosses. With no merchant, the big thing is you can't buy a case size upgrade. So your inventory gets really, really cramped, especially because you can't use rockets to kill the bosses, so you need a bunch of grenades, and those take up a bunch of space. And you only have really three weapons at your disposal: the basic handgun, the basic shotgun, and later on you can get the broken butterfly. You can't actually get a free rocket launcher if you like, but again, it takes up a huge amount of space. But yeah, so that's sort of the most basic challenge. But there are just so many different ways to play the game. Like, there's one of my favorites is the 0% hit ratio. So the game gives you an accuracy rating at the end of every chapter. So if you land a shot, a direct shot with most gun type weapons, then that counts as a hit, and then or a direct hit. And at the end of the chapter, it'll tell you know, what your shot percentage was. But if you just use knife, melee, the spread of the shotgun, explosives, rockets, the mine thrower, some other things, then your hit ratio, your accuracy at the end of the chapter is 0%. And that's actually a really interesting set of weapons to go through the entire game. And
I was
just
gonna say that sounds, sorry, it sounds like you're like taking the mick of the game, like the game's like giving you a zero rating at the end, but you're just like, well, I thought my way around this and still managed to.
yeah, it's just one of the and there are just a ton of really, really cool, interesting challenges that seem like just, you know, silly ideas, but they're actually it's really fun to sit down and think, is this possible? Can I do this, you know, no damage? And really kind of optimizing everything from there and seeing if you can do it. That's really what I find most fun about the game is that sort of thing.
Was it a challenge you came up with because you thought it'd be interesting, or was it seeing someone else do it, or?
Yeah, so I actually I saw another player. So there was kind of like way back at the beginning. I believe it's a Chinese player, HK Golden Mr. A, who did a ton of Resident Evil challenges. He's the first person I saw do that. And so I decided to try it, no damage. And I haven't seen any others do a no damage run of that. I'm sure there are some out there because there are just a bajillion runners that I've never actually seen that have done insane runs like that. But yeah, it was that idea was from someone else. Most of the ideas are runs I've heard of from other people. But there is one challenge run that I actually came up with that turned out to be really, really cool. So depending on how you count, in a new game, there are exactly as many chapters in the game as there are weapons available to you. You
Oh,
kind of have to
interesting.
account for it, you know, in a somewhat clever way to make it work. But the idea was, okay, so I want to use every single weapon, and in each chapter, I want to use only one weapon. So is it possible to do the entire game in that way, each chapter using every single weapon available to you, but using only one weapon in each chapter? And can I do that no damage? And I managed to do that, and that's probably my favorite run in that game that I've done. It took a lot of thought to figure out how to manage that, but it was a really cool run, a lot of fun to do. And honestly, there's really only one or two ways to assign each weapon to each chapter for the run to even be doable. So it was really interesting to work through.
You spoke about having three main games. Would the second one to come on to would be Sekiro?
Yeah, so yeah, pretty much. Before Sekiro came out, I mostly just played Resident Evil 4. I'm not actually sure what got me into Sekiro. So I did sort of casually play all the Souls games. And then when Sekiro came out, I had been watching several of the no-hit runners, you know, a lot of the OGs like Squilla and Faraz, and I guess Gino was just doing it at the time. But yeah, they had like the no death tournament, then the no damage tournament. And that got me into no hit running.
What was the aspect of Sekiro that appealed to you more than the other games, with the combat mechanic or the story, the setting?
I'm not sure what it was. I think a lot of the reason I've stuck with Sekiro is because it's so at the time it was brand new. And it hadn't been done to death to the extent that like Dark Souls 3, for instance, has. Like Geno's destroyed that game. There's really nothing left to do in that game.
No.
And really sort of the enjoyment I derive from all of these games and runs is finding things that haven't been done and figuring out how to do them or how to do them better. And there's really a lot more room to do that in Sekiro, I think, than in those other games. And that's probably the reason I've spent so much time on it.
I definitely want to go into a strat creation conversation, but I'll have to leave that for later. But one point I will come is just seeing some of your recent postings of strats that are just like left field thinking. Just like, I think the interesting part I find with like the strats that you find, create, or however you want to describe, is there can be established strats that is just like, okay, this works, it's fine, don't need to come, and then you'll find something completely out of the ordinary with a different either weapon item or just something, which I think is a very interesting mindset, because I think a lot of people, including myself, find something that works and then just stick with it. But you're constantly like finding new stuff.
Yeah, that's I enjoy doing that sort of thing more than I actually enjoy grinding out no hit runs. That's that's what I love to do in these games. Yeah, but thank you. I appreciate that.
No worries. And then the final one would be Hollow Knight. What's then separates Hollow Knight from Sekiro, or appeals, like drew you away from either Resi or Sekiro to Hollow Knight?
I don't know. Hollow Knight was just another game that I sort of randomly picked up on the recommendation of, I don't even remember who at this time. but yeah, I played through it. I enjoyed it. And I came back to it later and decided to try some no damage stuff on it, because I had only seen Fireborn famously did his no damage, or I guess technically Glass Soul run a while ago. But for some reason, that seems to be something that really didn't catch on that much in the Hollow Knight community, which I still don't really understand why that's the case. But it's definitely caught on a lot more now. Again, it was something where there weren't a lot of people doing the runs or really, you know, thinking about that sort of thing. So there's a lot of strategizing to be done, a lot of routing and all that fun stuff, and that's what I love to do. And it's an extremely good game and really rewards all the time and effort you put into that sort of thing.
It's had very similar feels to Sekiro. It had already been out for longer, but in terms of the like no hit, no damage perspective, there'd been very little like strats created or that sort of creating with that mindset and finding these things, and that's what appealed similar to Sekiro.
Right. And like the only thing that had been done in that game was any percent, and there was a lot more content in the game than any percent. I mean, yes. It's a huge game, and any percent you fight an astonishingly small number of bosses compared to how many there are in the game. So yeah, there is a lot to be done in that game. And there still is, honestly.
Oh, definitely. Like from something like 42, well, that's just the Pantheon. There's still variants. You only fight like 6 or 7 in any percent.
Yeah, it's a shockingly small number. Yeah, and some of those you have to be kind of generous with your definition of boss. Like, are you considering Gru's mother a boss night. Or yeah?
Yeah, it's a point. Like I say, the popularity of Hollow Knight as a run is like growing rapidly, especially in the Spanish community.
Yeah, they're really massive. It's been amazing to see. Like in all my favorite games, in Sekiro and Hollow Knight, really just them explode in popularity in the Spanish no-hit community.
Absolutely crushing it as well. Like some of the runs that they've done, like Zero Up with his recent, Zero Up 21 for Spanish Hollow Knight No Damage runner recently did all non-Pantheon bosses run, which it was something like a
not quite
5 hour
close
run.
Close oh, all close. Vanilla, so it wasn't vanilla. Including any of the DLC bosses.
Okay,
but it's pretty it's close still... it's pretty close. Yeah. It's a lot of bosses. It's a very tough run.
And then on Sekiro, I think Rather did a like all bosses or all endings, or was that Nexu? I can't remember.
Several Spanish runners have done the three endings run.
Yeah.
There are a lot of incredible Spanish runners in both Hollow Knight and Sekiro.
To deviate a little bit away from Hitless, keep it in mind, in fairness, the way you run run the games is very quick strats. On the point of some might not consider them safe strats. Obviously, that's dependent on practice as such. So,
no, I think that's a fair assessment.
I would just like your thoughts on a safe strat as you do some monker strats, let's say.
Yeah. I don't know. Like that's just the style of play I do. And like, I want to make a run that I would enjoy watching myself. And so I don't know. I'm also a little bit impatient. So there's several times where I could use safer strats and I've reset over and over and over. I'm also not the quickest in actually getting a run because I have several resets to these, but I don't know. That's just always the way I've done things. But I think in the long run, a lot of times it does pay off to really get good at that kind of thing. Especially when you're doing like low damage runs, because you really have to be extremely well versed in, you know, the boss's moveset and dealing with everything. And also if you do safe strats with some of the low damage fights, you're going to be fighting for an actual eternity. But yeah, yeah, I don't have a good reason. I don't have a philosophy or anything. It's just, that's always the way I've done it for some reason. Yeah.
Yeah. For definite. Some of your strats definitely lead to, are away from that safe conversation, more along skill based, in which case you have to have a much better understanding of the boss to do them, of which you have such an in-depth of each boss or each game that you can then do that, and obviously from doing these strats are able to then progress to like low damage stuff. I think a good comparison maybe for people who've done Souls is there's a boss called Dragon Slayer's Armor, which has two phases, and in a typical run people would finish the first phase and do enough damage to finish it, while some people actually spend the time to learn second phase and then can do the boss a lot more safely. And for you having an in-depth knowledge of how the bosses work, how to react, how to do these on stuff like Attack Power 1 or Base or Old Nail, are able to like continue going more in-depth in these games. Would you say that's fair way of putting it?
Yeah. So for instance, I've been messing around in what I call an insane mode in Sekiro, which is basically the worst position you could possibly be in terms of damage. So basically max new game plus 7, Charmless and Demon Belt, so enemies are going to have the max amount of HP, and you're doing the least amount of damage possible, so you're at attack power 1 and then have no skills, so you're doing shockingly small amount of damage in some of these fights. Sorry, what were you going to say?
I was going to say, and a key point that we always need to forget is Hitless.
Oh, yeah.
This would be a difficult run anyway.
Of course.
But like adding the Hitless on afterwards.
So I initially thought that the like Shura and Immortal Severance runs would be essentially impossible because of Guardian Ape was just ridiculous. Yep. There was no way I could play it safely that wouldn't take like literally an hour, 2 hours, something stupid like that. But I finally did figure some stuff out. And actually it was my experience in meme runs, which I'm sure we'll talk about later, in particular Sword Only, that really gave me the knowledge of how to deal with the boss and actually turn that into a doable, like full run, which I have not yet done. But it is in theory doable now. But yeah, so that's an example of really having to know the boss just because of the way I handicap myself and the way I always go about fighting the bosses in the most sort of YOLO way manner. Without that knowledge, there's really no way I think that run could be doable.
Yeah, I previously did a no sword challenge run in Sekiro, and so I had to use the Senpo arts for majority of the bosses
Oh.
after Genni, and or just after Bull, I should say. And so Senpo arts, if anyone knows, is like a martial arts in Sekiro, but it is not like it does no damage. It's mainly for like posture stuff. It's horrendous, and that Guardian 8 fight took 40 minutes or something like that. Not even hitless,
This is new game. This is new game and then vanilla, like not.
yeah, this was a base game. So for Ogre, I had to head stomp in order to kill him
Right.
because I couldn't use the storm. So, which
That
it's.
is one that is one meme I have not explored yet, but does sound interesting if it's doable. But it that the early game might make it just horrendous because of Bull and
Yeah,
to do hitless.
so spoiler, I did the speed running skip on Bull.
Ah, understandable.
I
Yeah.
yeah. But I've persevered with the rest of it. But yeah, that even just doing that and not doing that hitless just gives me like just a small perspective of how long and a Guardian Ape in those terms would take.
Right, yeah.
So going into actually the speed running aspect of runs, because we already spoke about you being a very quick player, and but you've also delved into aspects of speed running, and by that I mean always tied to something else, at least from the runs I've done. So in Hollow Knight, that would be a Steel Soul run, which is a deathless run, or in Sekiro, which was a sure hitless. And just wanted to ask if the appeal of speedrunning, or if like, is there an appeal of speedrunning, or is it just because it ties into something else, like hitless stuff, which you enjoy?
Yeah, no, speed running is I do appreciate and enjoy some speed runs, but even when I do speed runs, I tend to like to do them in the context of like challenge runs anyways, like hitless. But I don't know. I think the thing about speed running is like every single game has a ton of really extremely good speed runners. And the goal for speed runs is pure speed, so everyone is already thinking about how to optimize everything. And so usually you can't come in and sort of revolutionize a game in terms of speed unless it's really sort of an underappreciated game, I guess. Not a ton of speedrunners in it. So that's sort of the thing I enjoy doing, and it's a lot harder to do for most games with speedrunning. And also there's the whole thing of you have to do the same run over and over and over, even after you might get the world record, just to maintain your world record. And I don't generally like to do the same run successfully multiple times. I'd like to move on. So I think for those reasons, that's probably why I don't speed run much. But I do appreciate them, and I do watch speedrunners a lot if I'm trying to, come up with inspiration for strats or see new things that I didn't realize you could do.
I will say though, you do it very well, considering your Steel Soul was top 5, I believe, and Shura is just below Sekis and someone else who I can't remember. So you're still very quick, considering
Appreciate it, thank you.
the preference. So we've gone into. So would you say it's a fair thing to say you prefer depth of runs as opposed to variety of runs? I can explain more if you wish.
Yeah, what do you mean exactly?
So with a lot of runners, including myself, I am quite a run that appeals. So if something catches me interest to go, oh, Celeste is looking nice, or Dark Souls 3 is looking nice, and I like to have a look at and play and learn from a lot of different games and run a lot of different games. But you've really gone more like started at a game and then gone further and further into all bosses to like Shura to Severance to all bosses to all bosses. Dimbell Charmless.
Right. Yeah. So I like to like stick with a game and then play it to death. As opposed to doing a bunch of any percent hitless runs.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there are probably a couple reasons for that. Yeah, the first one is obviously because there aren't, all the other games. Several people have done any percent, and these are usually pretty well optimized. And I don't know. I don't usually enjoy grinding out a run that's been done several times, because the process of actually getting a run, it's not that fun for me, and
Damn.
it takes longer than I would like it to. So I like to be able to do a new run that other people haven't done and spend a bunch of time figuring out how to do that, and then a lot more rewarding personally. And also my sort of the mental aspect of like grinding out the runs, I'm not the strongest at that, so that can get frustrating. So I like to be able to do like new things, and that's a lot easier to get good at a game and then try to do a bunch of interesting runs in that game. The whole getting good process is takes a shockingly long time for me as well too. So that's probably the main reason I tend to stick with the game, because I learn rather slowly new games. So yeah.
How would you say you approach learning a new run? And also, if it's different or if it's not different, approach improving at a run once you've started it?
Like usually, like when I get sort of frustrated with a run, I will just sort of, dick around with other run ideas and just sort of kind of do like a blind run through and like vaguely route stuff out. So like I usually have like, five or six runs sort of routed out for when I get, frustrated with run I'm working. So it's not something I usually like set out to like, okay, this is the run I'm gonna do. I'm gonna route it out now and grind it out. Usually it's just that's just something I enjoy doing, just kinda for fun, figuring those runs out, routing everything out. I'm just an inveterate router and usually have a ton of things ready to go.
So, how do you go about that? Is that whilst you're doing another run, you're also keeping track of, oh, there's an item here, or there's a note here, or this might be a good path? Like, do you write these down, or do you just keep like a mental checklist of this would help in a different run that I would think of?
It would probably be good to be organized, but I'm not usually particularly organized, and a lot of times I will I'll forget several aspects of the route, which is why it's nice to have like a bunch of splits in Encounter, and especially in Hollow Knight, I found it extremely useful. They have a auto splitter for live split, and so that several times I've routed out a ridiculously long, complicated run. And completely forgotten it when I come back to it, but I have all of the auto splits in live split, and you can auto split for everything. So it becomes really obvious what the route was by going back through that. Oh yeah, that's I do this and then this and then that. But yeah, I'm not terribly organized. That would be.
Hold on, it's actually a really interesting one that I wanted to ask about because, as you say, I've talked about this to a couple of people, but I think the difficulty of learning the Hollow Knight route compared to some of the others, I believe at least you may disagree or agree, is visualization. Because with stuff like this, the From Software series or other 3D games, you can sort of have a mental picture of where you're going, and in that regard, Hollow Knight's a lot trickier with the 2D aspect and the quick room jumps. I don't know if you would have thoughts on that.
What do you mean by quick room jumps? Exactly.
So as you go from one room to another, it like flits down, as opposed to you just free moving kind of thing from one area to another. There's always those cuts though that you have to sort of keep in mind. So you enter one room and you sort of it just like flips to the next room. So you have to like have a set of like rooms in your mind as opposed to one expansive area that you're like running through,
I suppose so. I
if that makes
suppose so. Yeah,
sense.
also Hollow Knight's a lot less linear than the other games. Yeah, so I mean, yeah, with Sekiro, I can kind of if I have a run in mind, I can usually route out the majority of it kind of in my head, and then I can, wake up and try a bunch of stuff then. But yeah, with Hollow Knight, that is a lot harder. It's really complicated. Have to look at geo routing and
Oh, geo routing.
yeah,
Yeah.
and that kind of thing. And you can do bosses in just unbelievably varied order. There's so many options for that. So that's a lot more complicated. Also, why I find it so much fun. But it is a lot of work.
So let's say for true ending, what was your first step towards mapping out that route?
So the first thing I did was I watched speedrunners. I watched some speedruns because I wanted to have like a reasonably direct route. I didn't want to be going back and forth from areas over and over if I didn't have to. And so that's sort of where I started. And then I moved the route around so that it was, sort of doable in terms of hitless. Like, so for instance, in True Ending, the goal is to get in the speed run, the goal is to get 900 essence as quickly as possible so you can get Dreamgate. And then that makes the run a lot quicker because then you can just Dreamgate to and from areas and not have to use the bench, or you can use it in combination with the bench and that sort of thing. So it in order to do that, they will do fail champion really early, and that's a very, very scary boss to do without Shade Cloak and without, Abyss Shriek and all of that good stuff. I was like, okay, that's great, but I am it's a long, difficult run, and I am just not putting failed champion that early. That is out of the question. But it is I did keep the order pretty similar, I think, to speed runs at the time. Just moving stuff around to make it work. But yeah, I mostly took inspiration from the speed run.
So got into a lot of what I'd say are like first thought runs or common runs, such as like any percent into all bosses or vanilla bosses into content bosses. But you also split into others which called meme
Right.
runs, let's say, or like and to give a couple of examples of meme runs would be something like the Mr. Mushroom ending in Hollow
Right.
Knight or the Return ending, which are legitimate runs for, like as in like but probably not the ones you'd first think of, let's say, in doing the run, like in terms of what normal quotations runners do, like they normally go like up kind of thing, like into all bosses or longer runs. What would you say is like, what was the first like meme run in mind or the reason going into them? Was it for the break aspects, as you said earlier?
Possibly, yeah. It's like so stuff like Mr. Mushroom and Return Ending are sort of like free real estate on the Team Hitless website. It's a run I've already done with a few extra steps, and I can use that as an excuse to get a world's first. So those are kind of cheap world's first, but the kind of meme runs that I really like doing are the stuff like in Hollow Knight, like the zero geo spent, stuff that sort of completely changes how you fight the bosses or the order you do things. And those are really fun to figure out how to do. But also, I honestly think that like meme runs and low damage runs in general are the best way to get good at a game and really understand how it works and to be able to use that to get more consistent and to be able to do the longer, more difficult runs. That's not usually why I do them. It's just sort of an added, a knock-on benefit to doing those. But yeah, so for instance, in Sekiro Sword Only is a really fantastic meme category, I think. So no items, no, so you can't use Gachin, so you can't use stealth in several spots. You don't have the buffs, so the boss fights are longer. No combat arts, so in other words, the one combat art we
No
use,
mortal
Mortal
draw.
Draw, right? That changes several fights quite a bit. No prosthetic tools, so you can't do like the monk cheese, and that also changes, several fights also. But that is a surprisingly deep like meme category, and honestly, the knowledge I've gotten from that has really helped in doing all sorts of other runs. But that's one of my favorite meme categories. And then RE4, of course, just chock full of meme runs. You could do like a no run button run where you have to walk everywhere And figuring out how to do that no damage. And I also did it no merchant as well. So that was extremely difficult to do. Wait, I don't think I did that one no damage. But not running and doing no merchant was an incredibly difficult run. But you learn a lot about the more difficult areas. And you can apply those strats and or that knowledge in surprising ways to other more, you know, conventional runs, I guess you could say. Mm. But the same is true for the sword only and Sekiro. But yeah, like most of my time is spent doing meme runs, I think. But I love meme runs so much. We always say memes are better than actual runs, and I honestly think that's true.
I mean, for definitely, like the example you gave earlier of the sword only run helping later on for your Guardian Ape run with the Insane mode, like just all links together at the end.
Right. Yeah.
And I think the thing I think found really appealing or really liked about the meme runs is Sekiro sort of always had a general thought that it's the least varied of the games, right, because of the lack of customability. Mm-hmm. But there is so much variety in Sekiro once you start looking into restrictions. Like, it's sort of like the restrictions cause creativity or for you to have to learn the game so much more in depth. As you say, if you take away just one thing, then a strat changes of one boss, so you have to learn a new way to do one area.
Right, and it's surprising how much you can take away and still do the game headless, which I think is really cool. That's what I love about these games, is they really, it's just barely possible in like several challenges are just barely possible, but they're actually doable, and that's what I really love about these games.
One thing I wanted to ask is, how do you maintain concentration through long runs? So, for an example, would be your all content Sekiro, which was the all boss and mini bosses, I believe took around 3 hours. But then you looked into another run, which was an all content, which was the all bosses including gauntlets, which I cannot remember how long that was rooted to take. But I remember you doing a few runs of it, and just wondering how you keep concentration through such an extended period of time.
I will get back to you when I figure that one out, because that's actually a major weakness for me. So I guess if you're comparing this to some other like famously long runs in the Souls series, I haven't done anything approaching as ridiculous as those. You know, like your multi-game runs, like your God run. Those can take, you know, upwards of 8-10 hours. Your crazy single game runs. So like even Geno, who's, you know, famously fast in Dark Souls 3, like his all bosses master run, like the new game plus 7, no upgrades and fusions, I think it was like 5.5 hours, something like that. That is mind blowing. I don't know how people do and maintain concentration for that long. I don't do well with that.
I've got to like disagree with that. Like, those are amazing runs, but I don't think you can put yourself down as much, because you have done some insane runs and insanely long runs as well.
I'm getting
3 hours more.
I'm getting better at it, maybe, but that's still very difficult for me. To not, you know, get through 2-3 hours of a run and then just kind of make a bunch of dumb mistakes at the end because you're not paying attention. Yeah, that's something I actually need to figure out. I don't have a one weird trick to maintain concentration or anything, and I wish I did, but yeah.
I will at least say that you definitely have an aspect of it then, as you have like managed to do like these incredible runs. So there is something there.
Yeah, I think it's something like as you do progressively longer runs, I guess you slowly get used to doing longer runs, I guess. But yeah, it's much harder to do that than to do, you know, like a 30-minute, 35-minute, you know, sure, a hitless speed run, for sure.
I think also as you do more and more runs, there is a greater sense of autopilot kind of thing, where you're a lot...
Yeah, that's a big part of it. So a lot of my problem is I'm constantly rerouting and changing small aspects of these runs, and I have pretty severe ADHD, so like when I have to be thinking about what's going on in the future, it makes it a million times harder when it's really not autopilot, when I haven't
done the same route, you know, 100 times, and I don't have to think about it. That's there's a lot to be said for that. Yeah, so that's currently what I'm doing with my current run in Sekiro, is trying to really hammer out the route so I don't have to be thinking about it. But I keep changing it every single day. I'll tweak the boss order or stuff like that. So it'll be a while probably until that becomes muscle memory.
I think one last thing I'll go to on or say about the depth with these runs is something I've spoken to other runners about is with these games, like we run these games, or the majority of people run these games because they really enjoy that particular game. And as you do so, you end up paying so much more focused attention on them, to which you see stuff in the game that you never would see in a vanilla playthrough, with the big one being tells in bosses. Like,
right.
You may have a decent way to get through a boss in a vanilla, such as like your first time doing like Ishin the Sword Saint, but when you're seeing like the angles he moves or the way his elbow is moving or stuff like that, it's I think it's an even better experience in some cases until he like whacks you and such.
Right, yeah. There's a lot of stuff you pick up on, and a lot of that is kind of unconscious for me too, which is a little bit of a problem. Like there are several times when people ask, you know, how do you deal with, like, what's your tell for this move? I'm like, I don't know, dude. I've done it like 5,000 times. I've spent like several hundred hours on Sword Saint alone, so I don't know. Like, I can just see it now. I don't know. I'd probably be in much better shape if I could actually verbalize what's going on. But yeah, that's sort of how I learn things, is doing it over and over and over, and maybe not paying as much attention to it as I should, but just failing a trillion times and then finally figuring it out, but not actually knowing what I'm doing.
I'm getting like Ben Kenobi vibes, just like, just feel the force. Yeah. Just let him.
I guess, except it's a lot, it's a lot less romantic than it sounds. it's not a pretty process, really.
So one aspect which is very tight-knit with No Hit and Challenge Running overall would be live streaming. And just wondering how you entered like the live streaming space and what made you want to go into it.
Initially, I thought you actually needed to live stream to do the No Hit runs. I was like, well, how do they know you're not cheating? Okay. So I sort of got into it. So I had done Immortal Severance a while back, hitless. Mm-hmm. And then I decided, okay, I wanted to do like a multi-worlds first run at the time in Sekiro. I think I wanted to do like Shura, Demon Bell, Charmless. So at the time I started, Demon Bell, Charmless runs, hitless runs had not been done yet in Sekiro. And then I wanted to do AP1, hadn't been done. And no skills also hadn't been done. And then no prosthetic tools. I don't know. I just wanted to have like a multi-worlds first for some dumb reason.
Just all of them. Collect them all. Like Pokemon.
And then I wanted, so I decided, you know, I guess I'll live stream, because who's going to believe, you know, this random person did a, you know, 5 times world's first run or something like that. Yeah, I think that's why I started live streaming, which is kind of a silly reason. But I actually really enjoyed it. I really like the community we built up, a ton of nice people. And yeah, it's
a bit, this one's very much a tangent away from the topic, but I do remember one of your first streams when you switched to face cam.
Yeah.
And there were so many comments that I saw, just like, oh, I didn't think you'd look like, or like your...
Oh, that is every single face reveal. Yeah, I remember famously when Gino first did his face cam. And he had the super long hair, and it was like, dude, you look like Jesus. And he was not at all what I imagined in my head. But yeah, that's always the case. That's always fun in streaming.
So I wanted to... You brought up community, and I would like to say you have one of the nicest communities that I've seen on Twitch.
I do. I don't... I guess I attracted a few incredibly kind people at the right times, and I guess it's just been a very, very nice, welcoming, and not toxic... like shockingly not toxic place on Twitch. Yeah.
And I wish I had tips for that, but it just sort of happened, I guess.
That was my next question. Yeah. It was maybe not how to like, I think growth is like such a like an ugly word in regards to like communities, but like how would you like potentially like cultivate or encourage a good community, let's say, or if like having ideas as it was growing, you kept that kind of really nice like aspect of that.
Well, probably the biggest bit has been just like the Discord. Just having a place for everyone to hang out at after stream. And I don't know, like that's all been really a kind of a mystery for me too. Everyone got to know each other really well, and it's been a wonderful place since then. Yeah, I wish I had a better answer for that.
Yes, there's no yeah. worries. I for one will say, like say, have one of the nicest on Twitch that anyone would be would have enjoy being a part of.
Oh, thank you.
So, one last thing I have to go. I actually feel about this one. So you've done a few events, both in regard to competing and commentating, and just want to talk about your experience with those. Do you enjoy like the competitive aspect of challenge running? So an example would be of these events, if people listening, would be a Team Riders or Team Hitless, no hit run. So it'd be two runners competing against each other in a certain run. So who can complete it first with the minimum amount of hits. So it adds like a competition aspect to this personal challenge.
Those can be pretty fun, but I actually don't do super well with competition. So for instance, I remember when I was first working on All Bosses, Mini Bosses in Sekiro, Seki sort of came out of, like, he had sort of retired Hitless and proceeded to, you know, steal every single record in speedrunning.
Demolished everything.
Right. he sort of came back to it and decided to do All Bosses, Many Bosses, but Demon Bell Charmless, which is a significantly tougher run than what I was working on. And I was really worried he was going to get that before I got even Vanilla, because he's an incredibly quick, consistent runner. And that was actually a lot of pressure, and I did not enjoy the competition so much there. But yeah, so the events have been pretty fun, especially the more chill, relaxed ones, like the Deathless Race, where the stakes are not quite so high. You have to make sort of several mistakes to, you know, completely scuttle the run. But yeah, I'm not as big into like the Hitless tournament stuff. But they are a lot of fun to watch. They are fun to do. Competitive aspect is not something I'm super keen on.
And the commentating side, is that an aspect of it you enjoy doing? As you have done a few events that I've seen, and even took part of for the Team Hitless event.
Yeah, the commentating is a lot of fun, actually. I always worry I never shut up and just try to go into way too much detail, but everyone seems to have... I always seem to get good feedback with the commentating. But yeah, the commentating is a lot of fun. I will say, yeah, it is more enjoyable for me to watch other people competing and to talk about it than to actually do it myself. So I have enjoyed doing the commentary.
If you had one piece of advice for a new no-hit runner who wanted to approach a game, but either Hollow Knight or Sekiro, let's say, what would be a single piece of advice? Or
so... Like, if you really want to get into a game and do a bunch of difficult runs in it, I would say that the quickest and best way to do that is to do low damage runs, and also, I guess, really mess around with the meme runs as well. Like, if you really want to master a game, low damage has been fantastic. So I remember when I first started doing Hollow Knight no hits, I struggled a lot with it, and so I sort of went away from that, and then I decided to do some Steel Soul runs. So I did no charms or upgrades, Steel Soul, like any percent, base, you know, base nail, and just white spells only, and no vessel upgrades, no charms of any sort. So you're doing a significantly smaller amount of damage there. But doing that, and then I did True Ending, the version of that. And then after I did those, I came back to the any percent hitless, and I got it in under a week, I think. It was just a breeze after that. So yeah, you'd be shocked how much you learned by doing the and how quickly by doing those low damage runs. I honestly think that's the best way to get good at the game.
I can definitely agree. An example I can give from my running was the headless in Sekiro, because we had that headless bounty. So we had to fight those on very low attack power, and that was an interesting learning experience, let's say.
right. Yeah, and then also it's also something about the more long drawn out fights. It's just like not even just knowing the fight well, but just the mental aspect of saying, okay, I've done this fight hitless or deathless or whatever, and it's lasted like, you know, five times as long. It's super easy now to come back to it, you know, fully upgraded and do the fight. Just mentally it's so much easier. Like, you come back to it, you're like, oh, I know I can do this because I've done this, you know, under much worse circumstances. This is easy now. Like, that's the mental aspect of no hit running, I think, is really not underappreciated, I guess. But like, when you first get into it, you don't realize, you know, 80% of no hit running is mental. It's not skill. You hit a certain skill level, and then you're for most people, you're going to get the run long after, you know, you're capable of doing it. So yeah. For me, at least, doing these really long drawn out fights hitless has helped a lot mentally and dealing with them and, you know, leveled runs and that sort of thing.
I do want to give a shout out to your Demon of Hatred fight on YouTube, which I believe is over an hour.
It is right at an hour, but 5 minutes of that was me pausing the game to order Chinese takeout. To be fair,
let's say 55 minutes.
Yeah, around 55 minutes.
So I imagine in any run, even with the attack power one, like, that must feel like...
Oh yeah, like, I mean, once you... So insane mode in particular in Sekiro, some of those fights just get extremely long. And people are like, how do you do that? I'm like, I don't know, just sort of zone out and kind of just go with the flow for, you know, 30 minutes or so. And you just, before you know it, fight's over. But yeah, that's just, it's been fantastic practice to do, you know, the absurdly long fights like that. That is honestly, I think, the best way to get good at these games. Although, I can understand if you don't relish the thought of a 1 hour long Demon of Hatred fight, but it's really great. Really great practice.
I think quite an understandable thought.
Yeah.
If one game could be released tomorrow, either an announced, unannounced, or a sequel to a game that you don't think will ever happen, what game would it be?
I feel like this is a very leading question.
No, it's not. I'm just trying to cover all bases.
Oh, okay. Well,
any game.
I feel like you're asking. You're framing this in a way that I'm going to say Silk Song, because obviously Silk Song. Goodness knows when that's going to come out. But I am very excited for that to come out and to have a whole new game to do all this stuff in. I'm also looking forward to Elden Ring, but not quite as much as Silk Song. I would say. I know Elden Ring is instantly going to have every single person in the community trying to be first or, you know, trying to really optimize that game. Silksong will probably have a lot more room for, you know, figuring stuff out in it. But I'm also looking forward to Elden Ring as well.
Do you reckon you'll have that same trying to break down or find strats with, or will it be because of the amount of people going at it? You'll probably leave it till later, or
I'm not sure. It's hard to say, but we'll see how it goes.
Yeah. I was gonna say, in fairness, I'm asking about a game in 3 months' time about what you're gonna do.
Right. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. I've got
not sure.
Just going briefly on, as you say, the mental side. If you're able, would you be able to tell me about a time when a particular run, maybe when you're running consistently at a hit one hit PB or something similar, when it was taking its toll, and how you managed to get over that or move from that?
So I found I tend to get frustrated pretty easily with stuff like this and get stuck in the mental ruts. And honestly, the breaks are OP. Like, taking a break from a run and doing other things.
So by break, is that like other runs in other games, or a different run in the same game, stuff like that?
It could be the same game, as well. Because, yeah, like I said, I've always got, you know, five other runs I could be working on at the same time. Mm-hmm. So what happens to me a lot is I'll do several different runs. I'll have several runs I'm working on. I'll have, like, you know, one or two hit PB in those, and I'll be stuck at that for a while, and then I'll just get kind of, you know, tired of it and just dreading having to stream this stupid run today. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to do something else. And then I'll get, like, a, you know, one or two hit PB on that, and I'll get frustrated with that and maybe move on to something else. And so I'll go, like, you know, a couple months without getting a run, and then I'll get one run. Finally, I'll go back to another run, and then I guess that'll build my confidence, and I'll go back to another run, and I'll get, like, you know, three runs, and, you know, over the course of a week or something like that. All runs that I've been struggling with for ages. I don't know why that's the case. But yeah, I found breaks from a run help a lot, because you just sort of get a lot of, like, when you're stuck at a one-hit PB, or, you know, a one- or two-hit PB, that's just... That's the worst thing in the world to constantly to be stuck at that for a long period of time, or to get to the end of the run and just barely miss out on it.
Yeah, it is known as 1PB hell.
Yeah,
quite often in the community
for a reason. Some people are better at dealing with that than myself. I have found for myself at least that taking a break helps a lot, because yeah, I just start to develop a bad mental habits. And it starts to feel like, you know, I'm never going to get this stupid run. But then you come back to it, and then you get it, like, in a few days. And that's been my experience over and over and over. So, yeah, I would say just take a break if you get frustrated with it. If you're not enjoying it, don't try to force it.
What's the first point or occasion that came to mind if I said a hyped moment on stream, or previous hyped or excited or celebratory moment that you've had while streaming? What would be the first thing that would come to mind?
Probably Hollow Knight True Ending. Finally getting that. The True Ending No Damage is probably, like, the biggest relief for me. And that was another weird case. I'd come back and I sort of de-rusted. That was, like, the second or third time I de-rusted that run. And then I got, like, 9 hits the day before, and then I just got the run. That was such a relief, because that was beginning to feel like one of those runs I would never get. But yeah, I've never, so there, I always have all these runs that I would like to do off in the distant future, and they all feel like impossible, insane runs. But then by the time you actually have gone through the entire process of, like, routing, strategizing, optimizing everything, practicing the crap out of it, by the time you actually get the run, it doesn't even feel that impressive anymore a lot of times. I'm like, well, this is kind of a letdown. I mean, it's more of just, oh, finally, I got this stupid thing.
Yeah. Is it like a weird sense of getting tired of it? And
not so much tired. It's just like, there are many runs I've done where I'm like, oh, hell yeah, that is an insanely impressive run. Just because you spend so long doing it, and you get so good at it, and you just sort of don't realize how much better you're getting over time. It's hard to appreciate until you, like, I guess, look at your older runs and then come back to what you've just done. But yeah, usually by the time I get the runs, I'm not, like, insanely hype about it anymore. I'm like, okay, what's next?
What are the future plans of Spiral Out?
In terms of, like, runs I'm thinking of doing?
So is there some interesting runs coming up? Is there some videos or anything like that?
So the big run I think that I want to do, so I mean, I have, like, a ton of runs that I would still like to do, but, like, if I only had one run that I had to, you know, retire on, it would be the run I'm working on right now in Sekiro. So it's all bosses, many bosses, attack power 1, Demon Bell Charmless. So for a long time that felt like one of those completely impossible runs, but now it's actually starting to feel pretty doable. I think that will probably be the most difficult run anyone will do in Sekiro. So I will be probably genuinely proud when I manage to do that. No telling when I'll manage to get it, but that's really what I'm working on now. And, you know, there are, like, several other meme runs in Sekiro I'd like to do. You know, Insane Mode Shura, Immortal Severance, Sword Only, All Beads Memories, that kind of thing.
There's always room for meme rush.
Right, right. Hollow Knight, I'm not sure. Because I know several people, well, I guess like Zerob and Yak Knights, are working on some of the tougher runs, like the longer, you know, all non-Pantheon bosses. Someone's eventually going to do, you know, a God Home ending or 112% or something. Yeah. It's going to happen eventually, I'm sure. I probably won't be the person to do that in Hollow Knight. I did mess around with no charms or upgrades, true ending. That is quite difficult, but I think that's actually doable. And then yeah, several like meme runs in Resident Evil 4. It's really hard to say what I'm actually going to get around to doing. But yeah, those are things I would like to work on in the future.
And if people wanted to check you out, where would they be having a gander at?
Hopefully when I get a better internet connection, I'll be back to streaming again at, you know, twitch.tv/spiral_out. Yeah, currently I'm on a bit of a streaming hiatus because I am using satellite internet and it is unbelievably bad for streaming on Twitch. But hopefully I get that figured out and I'll be back to streaming.
I would also recommend your YouTube channel for the same name. Which, if you're interested in Resi or Sekiro or Hollow Knight.
Oh, hundreds of hours of just Resident Evil 4 on there. Yeah, tons of stuff. Bunch of no damage fights, bunch of runs on my YouTube channel. Yeah.
That was going to be there, but I just had a quick query. Where did Spiral Out come from? I do remember it when it had a list of numbers.
Right, right. So, but... okay, so that I'm a big Tool fan. Used to be an unbelievably enormous Tool fan. So Tool the band. And Spiral mm-hmm. Out's just a line from one of my favorite songs of theirs, Lateralis. And so the 1-1-2-3-2-1-1 thing was... that's a very popular song, so that screen name was taken on YouTube, Spiral Out, mm-hmm. just by itself. And so there's the Fibonacci sequence sort of in the song and in the lyrics, like the syllables and stuff at the beginning. So just a dumb nerdy thing, I put like a bit of Fibonacci sequence in, and that's the 1-1-2-3-2-1-1. That's what it used to be on YouTube. So when I started streaming on Twitch, incredibly, Spiral Out 1-1-2-3-2-1-1 was taken. Oh, wow. I couldn't believe it. And so that's why I became Spiral_out on Twitch. And then just sort of to keep things the same, I changed my YouTube to my Twitch. And also people were telling me, dude, I can't remember your YouTube name. You need to make this more simple.
I remember watching Dante's video with you in it, and I was just thinking, oh, it needs to Spiral Out. It'd be so nice.
Yeah. I honestly, I didn't start the YouTube channel getting an audience in mind. This is just sort of a place to put all of my strategies and refer to them later. Not the best name if you want to, you know, build an audience on YouTube, so I decided to change it later. But yes, youtube.com/spiral_out, I believe.
Right, Spiral, I really appreciate the time. I've really enjoyed this conversation. I hope you enjoyed as well.
Yeah, I had a good time. Thanks for having me.
No worries. So everyone, thanks for listening, and I shall catch you later.